Welcome to Hawk Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast from the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we're back. Once again, I know I say this every week, like, I'm surprised we're back.
Well, it is kind of a surprise, because we made it through the first year, which was the goal we set for ourselves, so...
And yet, we're still here. It's like 9 weeks into this year, and we're still doing this.
Yeah.
Clearly, we need therapy.
Yes. I think when we reach 100, we should do some kind of special thing for listeners.
Yeah.
And if you have any ideas of what that should be, let us know.
Yeah, we got lots of time until that happens. We got like 39 weeks. So, no rush. Take your time. But yes, we are back. And this week is actually something we talked about previously and said, hey, let us know whether or not you want us to talk about this.
Right.
And we got positive feedback about it. 100% of our sample pool said they wanted to hear it. Basically, one person said that they thought it was a great idea and really wanted to see it.
Yes, where are the rest of you?
Yeah, where are the rest of you guys? Give us a write at Twitter at Haunt Weekly, Facebook at Haunt Weekly, and I promise, the new website with contact forms and all that jazz is coming very soon. We actually, and this is true, put some finishing touches on it this weekend.
Yes.
We've got to find a time in the episode cycle where we can do the change out.
Right.
And not, you know, bork all your RSS feeds and stuff. So
yep.
That's literally what we're down to now. So to give you an idea, it's not that we're slacking and ignoring you guys. But yes, we do have a lot to go over this week. This is a big one. And I like this topic because it's something we have a lot of expertise in.
Right.
Just maybe not necessarily with haunting.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that in a minute.
Okay.
As usual, though, we start off with, appropriately enough, conference reminders. Crystal, why don't you start this week?
All right. Well, first off, we have Windy City Haunters, February 18th through 19th at Oaklawn, Illinois. They'll be doing the Midnight Terror Haunted House.
I think it's at the Midnight Terror Haunted
House. It is. It's there.
And they're probably putting it on too.
Putting it on for $20. This includes free glasses, a mixer, and an after party. And you can find out more on their Facebook page through their website at windycityhaunters.com.
You know, as we're going to talk about in a minute, the ticket price is not a huge part of the cost of a conference. But seriously, if you live close enough to this one...
Right.
Seriously, $20, dude.
Yeah, this is going to be the whole conference episode, isn't it?
Yes, it is. All right, well, after that, March 23rd through 26th, is Transworld's Halloween and Attraction Show in St. Louis, Missouri, the America Center. Early bird discounts now, pretty much until opening day, $50 off. And this year, there is an escape room city. They have dedicated pretty much a quarter of the trade show floor to escape rooms. It sounds pretty awesome. You can learn more about that and all the other cool stuff they're doing at the HaShow, HaShow.com.
Then, May 1st through the 5th, it's Room Escape Conference and Tour, Niagara Falls, New York, Niagara Falls Conference and Event Center. Tours of Five Wits, Escape Games Canada. Canada, meaning you need to be able to cross the borders. Hopefully we'll be able to. And Locked Up Escape Games.
Yeah, that's got a lot more politically complicated.
Yeah.
This week. Oh,
so
my God.
If we're still able to go across the border with Canada, be sure to bring a passport to do that.
Yeah, please, yes, bring a passport.
We won't go into all that. Let's not take that any further. We're not a political podcast. We're not. Conference is the 1st through the 3rd, and tours are 4th through the 5th. You can find out more there at roomescapeshow.com.
Amazing, the things you realize going through your conference list. All right, well, after that, May 12th through the 14th, that's the West Coast Haunters Convention in Portland, Oregon, at the Doubletree Hotel. They'll be touring the Midnight Room Escape, the Labyrinth Room Escape, and the Escapism Room Escape. You can learn more at hauntersconvention.com, and you owe me $5. I was able to go through that without making the obvious joke.
Well, Escapism Room Escape seems kind of meta.
Yeah, it does. I think they're trying to make me. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
All right, June 8th through 11th, Midwest Haunters Convention, Columbus, Ohio, Greater Columbus Center. Touring the Scaratorium and others. You can find out more, including what those will be, at MidwestHauntersConvention.com.
Yes. And then July 29th and 30th in Long Beach, California, it's Midsummer Scream at the Long Beach Convention Center, put on by the nice folks behind Creepy LA and Theme Park Adventure. There's not many details right now, but they should be forthcoming very, very shortly at midsummerscream.org. It's one S there.
Yes.
Almost said something pretty bad. Crystal gets it. Rocky gets it.
Yes. All right. August 4th through the 5th.
Oh, it's a long episode.
Yeah.
Buckle up, folks.
Yeah, it's been a really long weekend. All right. August 4th through the 5th, Haunt Fair in Rankin Como, New York at the Clarion Hotel. Haunted bus tour on Friday. And you can find out more there at haunt-faire.com.
And now our last two coming up. August 5th and 6th at Scare LA in Los Angeles. They don't know exactly where, but learn more at scarela.com. And I'll just tear through the last one since these two are so quick.
Yep.
And finally, August 25th and 20th through the 27th, it's Halloween and Haunt Fest show at Dallas-Fort Worth and Mesquite Convention Center. Once again, not many updates, not a lot known, but you can stay on top of it if you are so inclined at halloweenandhaunt.com.
And I'm sure that they've got channels just like we do where you can follow them.
Yes, exactly. Facebooks and Twitters and all that other yummy, yummy stuff that you can do. Instagrams and Instagrams.
Then you can get push alerts for the updates.
Yes, indeed.
We should really sign up for those.
Yes, we should. All right. Well, we were responsible podcast hosts. And
I know.
We actually gave a damn.
Well, we just thought of it.
Yeah, we just thought of it, honestly.
And we're only 61 in, you know?
we're still learning.
Exactly.
We're still in the breaking end of the podcast phase, folks. You got to give us a little time. We're getting the rhythm still.
It's only been a year. And a little bit.
A little bit. It's a change, yes. Getting the rhythm still. We'll get there. All right, so why this topic? We mentioned it a few episodes ago. I can't remember which episode we mentioned it in, to be frank. But we mentioned it and threw out the idea. And yes, we did get the feedback telling us that they actually wanted to see this. And this is a topic that is of great import to us.
Right.
Because even though we do not have a lot of experience with haunt conferences, we've only been to HauntCon twice. And I spoke at one and just attended one.
Yes.
But we have been to dozens of other conferences. My day job has me all over the world speaking and attending conferences. And you're oftentimes with me for those.
Right.
And we both have experience in past careers putting on conferences.
Yes, putting on conferences. I've also worked a booth at conferences every year.
So, yeah, we've got more conference experience than I think is like a safe dose in a lifetime.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, not a lot specific to the haunt industry. But still, one thing I noticed at haunt cons we've been to is that we are definitely an industry of local businesses.
Yeah, that's very true.
We're not like, you know, like most of the conferences I've been to are like national things or internet-based or somehow, you know, in a situation where they are working all over the world. And this is their chance to meet. But we're definitely a bunch of local businesses, which you would expect with haunted attractions.
Right.
So we may not be as conference-y as some industries are. And a lot of us are probably actually not just having their first haunt conference experiences, but their first conference experiences.
Right.
Full stop.
Yeah.
And the other reason we wanted to do this now is because, hey, haunt conference season is upon us. You know, I realized this as we did the notes. We just missed HauntCon. HauntCon is wrapping up as we post this.
Well, yeah. Well, we had to do the news last week. Otherwise, we would have gotten it out right before.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah.
But we have a schedule to keep.
Yes, and it's very, very important schedule. This is a serious business, people.
Exactly.
But no, HauntCon is in the can, but all those other ones we just listed are still ahead. So, by all means, I hope this will help conference goers at all those various wonderful conferences that are upcoming. So, and we wanted to break this apart into three areas. One is tips for attending, one is tips for presenting, and then we briefly had the idea of one for tips for putting on a conference.
Right.
We may throw some stuff out there.
Right, because we both have experience organizing big conferences.
Some fairly big conferences. And so I'm willing to discuss those, and I know you are too.
Yep.
But I don't think we're going to have time.
Okay.
So if we just do the first two, that will get like pretty much everyone other than the actual conference organizers. And that's something you guys want us to come back to later. Please let us know.
Or if you're organizing a conference and have questions, just email us.
Just email us or contact us through those means I described before. I'm sure you're sick of hearing that we're Haunt Weekly at all the things. But yeah, just get in touch with us and we'll work with you one-on-one if needed. We're always here to help the industry. That's why we do this podcast.
Yep.
So we're not going to turn you away. But yes, tips for attending conferences. I think the first thing I'd like to tell people to do is pick your conference very carefully.
Right.
This is really important, and I think, and this is going to sound kind of sad, but my number one thing I look at when choosing a conference is proximity.
Yeah.
And if I'm going on my own dime, especially.
Right.
Proximity is number one.
Yes. How close is it? How easy is it to get to? Is it on days I can go?
Yeah, and that's a good point. Proximity does not necessarily equal distance to it.
Right.
You know, for example, if it's in a, like, it's Houston, would not be that bad for us.
Right.
Because we have connections out that way.
Yeah.
And it's close to family and friends, and we have things we can do there. St. Louis is the same deal.
Right.
We have lots of connections there. So even though it's a 10-hour drive, it's still close to somewhere we would be anyway.
Right.
So proximity does not necessarily mean just simple straight-up distance.
Right, because like if there were a conference in North Mississippi, I won't say South because that's close enough for us to drive to. But in North Mississippi where we would have to get a hotel, then that would be less likely to be attended by us than one that's further away in Alabama.
Yeah.
Where we have family and friends and can,
room and board and so forth. Yeah.
Exactly.
The next thing I would look at, though, after that, is type of conference.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. We go through this laundry list of conferences, and I know some of you are probably sick to death of it, but...
Don't blame me.
Don't blame me. Try speaking it. But in all seriousness, these are all very different conferences. Transworld is very different from HauntCon.
Right.
Windy City Haunters is very different from Scare LA.
Right.
Some of these are more convention type things where you're going and you're seeing celebrities. Yeah. And there's also a haunt component. Some of them are hardcore business oriented, how to run a haunt type things. Some are prop building showcases.
Yeah. You Some know, of them are basically storeroom floors.
Yeah.
Where you can buy stuff to stock a store.
Yeah, exactly. So be thinking about the type of conference you want and specifically whether or not you want to go on haunt tours.
Well, and what you want to gain from the conference. Mm-hmm. Is it a conference to do that at? Because if you're looking at how do I start my very first haunt, then you want one that's more business-oriented than one that's more...
A good example there. If you're looking to start a haunt, I wouldn't roll up to the one here in New Orleans.
No.
Because that's mostly a trade show floor where you buy things.
Where you buy merchandise to stock a store to sell to the public.
And also some props and things too. And they do sell some props.
Yeah, they do.
So yeah. You know, be mindful of what you want out of a conference. And hey, if what you want from a conference is to have a good time, that's cool.
Yeah.
Happy for you. Seriously. But make sure it's a conference that's not like going to be all out on business side.
Right.
Because even though you may still have fun, it will not be as fun.
Yeah.
It will mitigate. But yeah, and after that, check out reviews. Look at what people have said. Look for reviews and recaps of previous years.
Right. And a lot of these conferences, Transworld being one of them, encourages people to photograph and videotape the conference. So you can find what you're going to be in store for by looking up previous years.
Yeah, and a good example is, excuse me, with HauntCon, since I spoke at it last year,
right,
I got permission to videotape and post my slides from my talk on my site.
Yeah.
You can go to plagiarismtoday.com, Google HauntCon, search for HauntCon, and you'll be taken to my presentation.
Yeah.
I think it went rather well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that gives you an idea of the type of presentation. I think mine was fairly typical for the style of presentation and for the topics and so forth.
Right. There were a lot of makeup tutorials
last
year.
Yeah.
And a couple on safety that were really interesting and on actors and how to find actors. And so it was more business oriented than one that's more about here's a prop you can buy.
Yeah. So that's one of those things, is definitely go back, check those recaps, check those reviews. And one thing to watch out for is don't just listen to the negative reviews. Oh, they didn't have, you know, the food or whatever. That stuff changes from year to year to location to location.
Right.
A lot of that has to do with the venue, which something we might touch on a little bit later.
Yeah.
But the stuff about the type of things they have.
Right.
And sort of what they're aiming to achieve, that remains more consistent. Focus on that stuff.
Right. Unless the con is relatively new, yeah, and the owners were listening to those reviews and made changes.
Yeah.
Because that is possible.
That's possible too. But yeah, just bear in mind that some things will likely change year to year. Focus on what doesn't.
Right.
The next consideration, and this is a big one,
yeah,
is cost.
Yeah.
Cost is rough. And here's the thing, and like I said earlier, the cost of the ticket to the conference is usually the least of your concerns.
Yeah.
They can be expensive, don't get me wrong. And I get a little frustrated. This seems to be a thing that's kind of unique to the haunt industry,
mm-hmm,
where we have conferences that love to nickel and dime.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying. I would like to pay one price for everything.
Mm-hmm.
At least to have the option to do that.
Yeah. But that's not how a lot of our conferences work, especially those that do haunt tours.
Right.
Will charge a base fee for the conference, then per haunt tour, and then oftentimes additionals for mixers. And it gets a little crazy.
Well, there's the mixers, and then there's the special classes, which you've also got to buy
your supplies for.
So. And it can get really expensive really fast if you're not careful.
Yeah, next time HauntCon rolls around, I want to, like, just do a hypothetical. What if I did everything I physically could? How much would it cost? Because I'm willing to bet I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, just bear in mind, though, that normally the cost of the ticket is the least of your concerns. Travel, meals, and especially your hotel,
yep,
are going to be your bigger problems.
Right.
And travel depends upon proximity, too, whether that, how big of an expense that is. Honestly, for me, I prefer conferences I can drive to.
Yeah.
And I consider my driving radius to be pretty big. I think St. Louis is about the edge of my driving radius.
Yeah, so about 10 hours.
10 hours, yeah. And that gets a lot of distance. That gets us from New Orleans to Houston. That gets us way past Pensacola.
Yeah.
You get like this like half circle over the Gulf Coast region and on into the heart of America.
Right.
So, yeah, you get a lot of range there. But, yeah, that's because air travel, even short hops, can be very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hotels are one of the trickier areas with conferences. And this is something I've learned from doing a lot of conferences, is definitely pay attention to the deal the conference gives you on a hotel.
Right.
What will happen is usually a conference will have a block of rooms.
Yes.
At a hotel. And that's great. That's Godspeed. Definitely understand how much that is.
Yes.
But then actually price shop.
Yeah. Especially if you're going to be able to have a car.
Yeah. If you can have a car, and this is one of the reasons why I think I like driving rather than... Because if you want a car, and when you've flown in, you got to get a rental, now you've added another layer and another expense.
Right.
It's a huge pain in the butt.
Especially if they don't have good public transportation, right, which you could check out before you go.
Yeah. And I'll say this. There have been a few conferences I've done on the stupid Jeep.
Yeah.
Where I have arrived at my hotel and then taxied or public transited to the conference.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, is though the block of rooms is probably a good deal compared to what you would normally pay at that hotel if you were not a conference goer.
Right.
It may still not be anywhere near the cheapest hotel around.
Right.
Just trust me on this one. We have had instances in the past where we looked at the room rate, checked the ones immediately around it, and found hotels half price effectively across the street.
Yeah, we did that very recently, actually.
Yeah.
So, got about half price, yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a bad hotel.
No, it was a very nice hotel, actually.
The other thing to remember, and we've noticed this, because when conferences invite you to speak,
mm-hmm,
especially the international ones, they will usually put you up in a very nice hotel.
Yes.
Nice hotels have fewer amenities. I don't know why, but every time we've stayed in one or have been invited to stay in one, we've had to pay for Wi-Fi. You know, something as simple as that.
The funniest was when we got screwed on that return flight from the United States on one, and we got put up at this very nice Hilton by KLM Airlines.
Right.
very posh airport Hilton. Yeah. They gave us one of the best suites.
Oh, yeah, it was nice. They were very sad that they didn't get us home on time.
Yeah, they were exceedingly generous with the room they got us. I still can't. It's probably the nicest hotel, one of the top nicest hotel rooms I've ever been in.
Yeah.
And we're staying there, and then we had to pay $30 for Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like the one on the Tyne whenever
yeah.
we were
yeah.
Overseas.
Yeah.
That one was like, I don't know, 15 or 20 euros a day.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And yeah. we were there for over a week.
Yeah.
Us without internet does not happen.
Yeah.
It just doesn't.
And here's what I tell people about hotels. Your hotel is a place to poop, shower, and sleep.
Yes.
That's the extent of it. Yeah. Maybe you have Wi-Fi for convenience purposes. But other than that, those are the three things you need to do. If it's got a bathroom and a bed,
yeah.
you're set.
Yeah.
Don't hesitate to stay at cheaper hotels, especially if you have a car, like you said.
Right.
And you can typically, you know, cut the amount you pay for the conference in half or less by doing that.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. By saying this and talking about this, we're screwing over some of these conventions.
Sorry.
Who are counting on selling out those blocks of rooms to pay for the amenities they have.
Right.
But hey, I'm here to advise you as a conference goer right now.
Right. This is for the goers.
If you want to talk about it as an organizer, we'll do that later.
Yeah.
This is for the attendees here.
Yep.
The other piece of general advice I always give is definitely make a budget out.
Yes.
But then double it or at least add 50% to it in my book. Because here's the thing. Stuff happens. You don't know about any extra amenities you need. You might need to pay for that Wi-Fi. You might
right.
need other things. And you might have an emergency. You might need an Uber suddenly for some reason.
Yeah.
Just give yourself a very healthy amount of breathing room. And besides, you might have an opportunity to do something that might add extra. Maybe you'll have an opportunity to go up with a bunch of the conference goers to a bar.
That happens all the time.
All the time. And you want to make sure you have a budget that lets you have a few drinks and buy a couple of rounds. You know,
right.
Because you don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know that guy. You don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we got you at the damn conference, pretty much.
Right.
Before going, decide what it is you want to do.
Yes. What's the purpose?
What is your objective? And the reason
your
to do
goals.
This is that it impacts absolutely everything you do after.
Right.
Are you there to make contacts, to meet people, and to network a little bit?
Yeah.
Are you there to exchange ideas and maybe get some great ideas for a room or something to improve your business? Mm-hmm. Are you there to hit the trade show floor and buy some great products?
Are you there to take classes and learn some stuff?
Yeah. Are you just simply there to see other haunts and tour other places? What is your objective? What would, if you do this one or two things, if you do these things, you will think the conference was a success.
Yes.
What are those things? What are those one or two things? And make it one or two. Don't say, I want to do it all, because then you'll never know.
Then you'll feel like you didn't accomplish mm-hmm. what you set out to do.
Because you didn't have an objective.
Yeah.
Give yourself an objective. This is super important, and I see this all the time. In fact, and I remember, you know, at HauntCon, actually this happened at HauntCon, someone was saying, you know, I just don't feel like I got anything done. I mean, I went to these classes and this and that, and I'm like, well, what did you want to do? And, I don't know. If you didn't know what you want to do,
yeah.
then you can't accomplish it. It's impossible.
Right.
It could have been the best conference ever put on in all of humanity.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have done it.
Right.
It's not the conference's fault. You have to have an objective. All right. Next, look up the conference rules. People forget to do this.
Yeah, because they generally do have rules.
Yes.
And one of the reasons I look it up all the time
yeah.
is because one of my side things is I'm a photographer. So I want to know, can I bring my camera? Can I bring my good camera?
The real camera.
Exactly. Can I bring the one with the zoom lens where I'm not, where, you know, I can be way far away from the speaker.
The big lens where if you were a guy, I would say you're compensating for something.
So. Exactly. that's the lens I want to bring.
Yeah.
Can I bring it? And I actually looked into this, and all of the conferences on our list, save Transworld, did not have a specific photography policy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's annoying to me, because if you're not going to tell me I can bring it, I'm not going to bring it. Because that's a lot of money that I've invested in that equipment, and I don't want to have to leave it at a hotel room.
Yeah, and risk it being stolen or broken or something else happening to it. Now, one of the things for me, and one of the rules I have to check in on, is about promotion.
Right.
Even when I'm going to haunted attraction conventions, I'm oftentimes promoting my day job as doing copyright and plagiarism work.
Right.
So I need to know, you know, what are the, not just the rules of the conference, but sort of the ethical boundaries of the conference on self-promotion.
Yeah.
Because, yes, you're supposed to self-promote to some degree.
Yeah.
But there is taking it too far.
Yeah.
Will there be a card table? Whether, you know what I mean? What can I do?
Right.
And a big one for haunted attraction conventions is actually costumes and props.
Right.
What can you bring? What can you wear? What can you do? When can you wear it? Can you wear it to the costume ball but not the conference itself? When is acceptable and what are you allowed to wear and bring?
Right.
Think about those things because this helps plan your objectives and what you bring.
Right. And it also, some cities have bans on wearing full mask and disguises in public.
Nope.
So if you have to leave to go to the conference, keep that in mind with your costume too. Just look up the local laws on that.
Yeah, just be 100% safe.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, be careful what you bring in general, especially if you're flying.
Right. because
now is not a good time to screw with TSA. I'm just going to throw that one out.
And if you haven't traveled in a while, it might have changed since the last time you did.
It might have changed since last week. But
not going into that.
The point of the matter is, I get why a lot of haunts like to bring the big costumes and the elaborate props and all that.
Right.
And that's awesome. I love looking at that.
Right.
But I always cringe a little bit on the inside because I am the ultimate light traveler.
Yeah. Well, I am hoping that they are local enough to just drive from their house or from their haunt and bring those big costumes in. And a lot of times that is the case, because you do want to show off what you can do.
Yeah, I agree.
You want to show off, you know.
But you got to remember, especially if you're flying, everything you bring, you're going to have to carry with you and pack mule with you through airports. And, you know what I mean? It's going to be rough.
Right.
I have the attitude, if I can't fit it in my satchel, it ain't coming.
Yeah. Yeah, we,
I'm flying. If I can't do it in carry-on, screw you.
Yep.
Just screw you. I have flown, God, how many dozens of times? Almost 100 times now, probably?
Probably,
We're getting up there, at least. I've never checked a bag.
Nope.
Not a single time. I have done multiple international trips, including one that was 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Never checked a bag.
Yeah, we haven't checked bags for conferences, and I know that you've been to more than I. The only time that I have checked a bag to fly was when I moved to South Carolina. I checked one bag.
That's the only time I've sat around the little baggage thingy.
Yes.
I've never done it since then.
Nope.
And that's just it. I'm a firm believer in that, but... And part of the reason is this, because if something happens, if you have to get out of your hotel room,
right?
Something gets screwed up with your credit card, or God help me, this actually did happen once, there's a fire.
Yes.
And you have to evacuate the hotel room in a hurry. This might have actually happened in our history. Like I said,
yes.
We might have been like the last customers at a restaurant that had joined a hotel and the restaurant burned down.
Yeah.
Like ashes. It was a really interesting night.
It was.
We are now known as throughout Philadelphia, Mississippi, for having burned down the Sizzler or anything.
Yeah. Well, at least to that one company, but they were nice enough to move us to a nicer place anyway. But regardless,
if you have something like that happen, the ability to just grab your crap and get out.
Yeah.
And not worry about it. Because that's one of the things. We were able to literally grab our suitcases, throw them in the car, and go watch the building burn across the street and not worry about our stuff.
Right. Because when a fireman knocks on your door and tells you, you gotta get out, you gotta get out.
Time to move, man. So, yeah. Be thinking about that. Okay. Other stuff to do.
Okay.
Wow, we get sidetracked super easy on this podcast.
Well, yeah. That's okay.
But look up a schedule and try to create a tentative plan of what you want to do.
Right.
Conferences will post their schedules of the classes and events. do that, make a schedule, make notes, put in a format you want. A lot of conferences will have the program where you can do that.
Right.
But I would do it on a printout that you bring with you to the conference and show up with.
I would also make sure that you have an alternative to each class just in case one of them's canceled. I've had that happen before.
Absolutely.
It was fairly annoying.
Yeah, and it happens a fair amount at conferences, unfortunately. And that's just because you have enough speakers, someone doesn't show.
Doesn't show, gets sick, has an emergency,
and
whatever.
And keep it flexible in general.
Yeah.
Because you never know when you're going to meet someone really awesome.
Right.
And you just want to chat with them more and you say, screw that class or whatever.
Yeah.
Keep it flexible.
Or you meet someone and they say, hey, are you coming to my talk tomorrow? And
you're exactly.
Like, oh, I didn't know you were speaking.
Yeah, exactly. That happens all the time, so be flexible. You're going to find things that you decide in the moment you want to do more than your plan.
Right.
And that's okay. Run with that. That is good.
Yes.
That is a sign, to me, a plan falling apart is a sign of a good conference in a way.
Yeah.
Because that means I found exciting things to do.
Right.
And that's the way it should be. I know this next one's kind of a generic tip, but it never cannot be overstated.
No, we can't.
Bring business cards. Lots of business cards.
Yeah. So the reason I made that noise, I don't know if you heard it or not, but Jonathan saw the expression, was that the last time I was at a conference, there was a marketing person there that had no contact information to give me. They didn't have business cards. They didn't have paper to write on. How can you be a Sorry.
And
I'm going to stop.
We're going to have to put Crystal in the closet for a few minutes. I'll resume the rest of the podcast until she calms down. But yeah.
It's okay.
Here's the thing about business cards. Go on any site and go on like Vistaprint or wherever the hell you like to do your cards from. I don't care.
Right.
Doing 100 cards and 500 cards is almost the exact same amount of money.
Yep.
Just do the 500. Yes, you'll have extra cards. I have a crap ton of business cards for Hot Weekly, my businesses, everything in my office. I'll probably never give them all out, and that's okay.
Yeah.
It's better to have them and not need them than the reverse.
Well, and because like you had mentioned earlier, sometimes conferences will have a card table where you can leave business cards. So you want to be able to leave a stack.
Yeah, and not worry about, ooh, but how am I going to give to... Yeah, just...
No.
Get, like, make it rain number of business cards, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And that way you can check the stacks on the card tables daily and see if you need to restock.
Do that.
And not have to worry about how many cards do I have. Because you can get more after the conference is over.
Yes. This is the tip I wish I had heard so much sooner, this next one. When you get a business card from someone else, when you do the exchange.
Right.
And you're done with the conversation and you break, find a place and write down information on that card.
Yeah.
Write down how you met and why and when you want to follow up. What's the deal with this person? Why do I care about their contact info?
Right. And if there was anything distinguishing about them to help jog your memory, because you're going to be meeting a lot of people, write that down on there too.
Yeah. And the reason I give this tip so emphatically is because what happened to me in South by 2012.
Yeah.
Did South by Southwest. It was my first South by. I was so excited.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to meet all the people. So I'm going to do all this stuff. It's going to be great. And so I go and I do all this stuff and I'm meeting people left and right. And I literally collected 100 business cards.
Yes.
Literally. And I got home and I got my bag, got my computer set up, and I took these business cards and I splatted them all over my desk and realized I did not remember a single damn one of them, pretty much.
Right.
I think I could remember and pull out like 10 people. I had enough info to contact. And so, yeah, a lot of that effort went straight to waste. Don't make that mistake. Don't trust your memory. Write down on the card, just like I said, distinctive things, how you met, and why you want to follow up, and what you want to talk about with them.
Right, because conferences are a whirlwind of faces, places, and events.
Yep.
And your brain's not going to be able to remember and recall them all just from a name on a card.
Right. Okay. Attend everything you can is the next tip for me.
Yes.
Go to all the official parties and mixers, but most importantly, seek out unofficial gatherings.
Ooh.
This is a thing. Conferences, especially that are in downtown areas, people do sneak off to go to bars. They do sneak off to go to other things that are unofficial and unrelated, not officially connected to the conference. those are really great opportunities to meet.
Yes.
They're usually much less formal. People are much more open. It's a really great opportunity. And here's my favorite tip of all. If the conference has transportation, use it even if you don't need it.
Right.
Once again, going back to South by Southwest, you know how I got 100 business cards? Sitting on the damn South by shuttle.
Yep.
I have threatened repeatedly on the years I don't get a badge for South by that I'm just going to crash the shuttle.
Yeah.
And just talk to people there, because people, when you're on a bus or a shuttle, you talk to people.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity. You literally have a captive audience.
Yeah, it is. Also, if the event has a joint, like, breakfast, because sometimes they'll put out, you know, the little tables and stuff at the conference convention center. That's also a good place to mingle because everybody's recovering from the day before. Yep. You can talk about what you're planning on doing.
Yep.
Maybe that's one of those places you're going to switch up and be flexible with your plans.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, just basically try to do everything you can.
Yep.
And definitely try to be in places that aren't just classrooms.
Yeah.
Which is a mistake I see a lot of people make, because they'll go to the classes, which are great, and classes
right.
are good, but then when the classes are done, they just go somewhere else.
They go to their next room,
they treat
and
it like
they
it's
wait.
College or high school or something, yeah.
Yeah.
And
well,
that doesn't help you.
You know, yeah, it doesn't. Well, I've been that person at the conference.
Yes. But speaking of those classes, do take good notes. One thing I've noticed at Haunted Attraction Conventions, we do not have a lot of laptops
no.
going in classrooms.
No.
Bring a damned laptop. You paid money to take these classes. Take good notes, and a laptop will help you so much more than pen and paper, because not only can you, you know, type it out and have it clearly readable, but it's more shareable that way too, especially if you type into like a Google Doc like I do.
Right.
And that is another great way to meet people.
Right, because if somebody sees you taking good notes, they might say, hey, can you send those to me?
Or, hey, I wasn't able to go to that class. Can you just shoot me your notes?
Right.
Trust me, this is a great way to meet people.
You could also put it out there, like tweet it at the conference.
Exactly.
Because a lot of times conferences will have hashtags to follow.
Yeah, like when I did the International Plagiarism Conferences a few times, they have asked me to take notes of everything.
Right.
And then I became like the official scribe of the conference.
Yeah.
And they literally would put my Google Doc up. So,
yeah.
These things happen.
You get put into the scribe role a lot,
yeah,
don't
I do.
You?
I think I type 120 words a minute.
Yeah.
So I kind of get thrust into that role more than I deserve. I never learned shorthand, but I think I'm almost as fast as someone that is very good with shorthand.
Probably.
I'm at least pushing it.
Yeah.
Finally, though, be sure to follow up with everyone. I typically do it 2 to 4 weeks after the conference. Some people say 1 week.
Yeah.
So find your own balance here, but basically give everyone time to get home and get caught up on like their day-to-day crap, but not so long that they forget about meeting you.
Right. That sounds like a good tip to me.
All right. Now, we've got about a little bit over 10 minutes left.
Yeah, we're definitely not getting into the ones
for
setting up a conference.
Yeah, if you want to know how to run a conference, you're going to have to write us directly. I'm sorry.
Maybe we'll do that later.
Our tips for running a conference, we will gladly share that with you. I'm not sure how much guidance we have, though. People that are typically in our industry, people who run the conferences have been doing it for a long time and probably have much more experience than we do. But hey, if there's anything we can offer, we will do so.
Yeah.
Anyways, tips for presenting. Now, this is something I know a whole hell of a lot about.
Yes.
All right. First off, decide why you want to present. This is really important, and people don't seem to get this one. Are you doing it to help the industry? Are you doing it for publicity for yourself and your business? If so, how are you going to turn this into sales or marketing or business?
Right.
Or are you just doing it for a free ticket to the conference, which I'll just admit it, I'm guilty of a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Morning.
Well, yeah, especially if it's international and the ticket includes a plane ticket.
Yeah.
So,
I'll be honest about this. I don't charge as much as I should for my speaking engagements, especially the international ones.
Right.
Because it's kind of how I travel.
Yes, it's got perks.
I mean, basically, we've been to England multiple times, Netherlands, Hungary, Germany.
Yeah.
All over the United States.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to go to Thailand possibly soon.
Yep.
Crazy stuff. And you can do that because of conferences. It's great.
Yeah.
It's probably the only way I can afford to take these trips.
And the thing is if you are a haunt owner, that is a tax write-off because that is business-related.
Yes, it is. I agree. Okay, so if you do decide you want to present, I would start working on it now for next year. Now, some of these that are like downfield, like the ones coming up in August, you might still be able to really get involved in.
Right.
But I suspect anything in the that is... Like, I'm pretty sure, I haven't checked, but I'm reasonably sure Trans World has their lineup done. They're coming up in March.
Yeah.
And even, like, the Room Escape Conference and Tour in early May is probably already at least in the process of nailing down their speakers. So you're a little late in the game for this season, unless you go, like I said, further downfield. But start now for next year.
Yes. The other thing is, if you do attend a conference and you want to speak at it the next year, be sure to get in touch with the organizers and make them remember you.
Yeah.
Find some way to get them to remember
That's
you.
It's very, very important, actually. But yeah, I would first start by thinking of the topic you want to do.
Yeah.
Pick something you have expertise on, and most importantly, something you're comfortable talking about for a really long goddamn time.
Like an hour every week?
An hour every week type thing. Yeah, it's crazy. It's surprisingly difficult to talk about a singular topic for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's the time, if you're getting an hour, most conferences give you an hour slot, 40 to 45 minutes is what you want to target. I tend to actually, the older I get in this game, I tend to target more toward the 40 side of it.
Right.
Because I have had too many situations where... Because the thing about this is that 20 to 15 minutes we're talking about there, that's your talk didn't start on time because some person before you ran long
right.
or something like that. And you got to allow time for Q&A. And plus, you know, when you're up there talking, people might be pinging questions off of you. Your pacing might be different.
Right.
Basically, you know, you just want to make sure that you have time for everything.
Might be technical issues getting set up.
Exactly. So yeah, 40, I tend to skew now toward the 40, but 45 minutes is also a pretty good tip.
Right.
And do multiple run-throughs of your talk. I mean, I'm not going to give you like all these tips for how to design the PowerPoint and all that, or how to do your slides, or how to organize your talk. Everyone's got a different style there. I mean, I'll give you a few things down below, but...
Yeah, you should probably put a link to that book about...
Beyond Bullet Points?
Yes, Beyond Bullet Points.
Yeah, Beyond Bullet Points is a book I think every presenter should read, and I actually give one of the tips in our notes here. But yeah, basically, do multiple run-throughs, but here's something very important. Don't over-prepare.
Right.
I understand the nerves. I understand wanting to like really nail it. Don't do it. Don't do that to yourself.
Yeah.
You will screw yourself over so bad if you over-prepare. My traditional way I do it personally is this, and this is just me, but prior to a conference, I will go through my talk 3 times.
Right.
Once, to see if there are any timing issues. Second, to adjust those timing issues. Third, to nail it down and confirm that I can do it twice when the same range.
Right.
And other than that, I don't look at it.
Yeah.
We're done. That's it.
Yeah, and the other thing about your style versus a lot of other presenters that I've seen is that people want to hear you talk. And what you do is you have bullet points of topics, but then you talk about the topics. Yeah. People are not just copying the bullet points the whole time, because if they were, there would be no reason for take notes.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't just read off the bullet points is what I'm trying to say.
Basically, yes. And next is your tip about getting to know the conference organizer. If you know the conference you want to be at, get to know whoever the organizer is. If you're there this year, get some face time.
Yep.
And most importantly, ask them about your topic.
Right.
Hey, I'm thinking about proposing a topic on blank. Do you think that's a good idea? If they seem excited, genuinely excited, not like patronizingly excited, run with it. You got something. If they don't, maybe tweak it. Figure out something new. If you can't do that, if that's not possible, at least email them and see if the interest is there.
Right.
Because your topic may not be right for the conference, no matter how good it is.
Yeah, and I will say... Don't try to flag them down during registration when everything is going absolutely bonkers for them. Wait until, you know, second or third day in.
I got Leonard Pickle from we went to Hong Kong 2 years ago.
Right.
I got him, I think, on the last day as classes were winding down.
Right.
He was finally calming. He's a very intense man at times during conference.
Well, it's intense running a conference.
Oh, it is. I get it. It's intense. Yeah, that's a decent time.
Right.
As things are won, maybe not right at the very end as they're doing teardown.
No.
But as the conference itself is stable and they're relaxed,
everything's running the way it's supposed to.
Yeah. All right. Now, once you confirm there's interest in your topic, watch for a call for speakers. That usually doesn't take very long to come up. Usually what will happen is this year's conference will come and go. Some time will pass, not that much, and then they'll announce the next dates. And then pretty soon after that, they'll usually open up speaker registration or submission. Look for that, and then when that happens, fill out the form, cross your fingers, and good luck!
Yay!
Now, if you get accepted, just a few tips from my experiences and the things that I've screwed up over the years. Learn from my mistakes. Don't repeat them.
Well, that's why we're having this discussion.
Yes. One, bring your media, your slides, basically, and anything else you have, whether it's videos or whatever else you have to bring, in as many formats as you can think.
Yeah.
And let me explain what I mean by that. A, it needs to be in multiple places. Every time I go to a conference now, I have it on my laptop, which, of course, has connectors to, you know, various things.
Yes.
Bring it on a flash drive. Put it somewhere on the cloud. And bring it, you know, on other media too, if possible.
Right.
Any way you can practically get it, do it. If it's a video, you put it on a DVD or something too, you know. Get it everywhere you can. And you want it in multiple formats. I've used Macs for my presentations, but everything is export. Everything's in the native Mac format. It's in PowerPoint format. It's in PDF. And it's in an image only, so I can just, like, tab through the images.
Right. And then I would also get in touch with the conference organizers to make sure that they will be able to provide anything that you need.
But
still bring your backups.
But that's just it. You think, yes,
bring your backups.
You're absolutely right. Do that, but also just recognize that that may not be what actually happens on the ground.
Well, yeah. And one of the things you may want to consider is if you have handouts or something, printing them yourself instead of relying on the conference to do that.
I agree. That's a very, very good point there. All right. As far as giving the talk, once again, I don't really want to get too much into that. Main mistakes I see are, one, don't read from a script.
Yeah.
You know, the way I look at it is this: use bullet points, have destinations where you want your talk to go, but let the road wind through those points.
Kind of like this podcast.
Yes, exactly. Just let it go. Let it flow.
Yeah.
And for the love of God, do not put all the content you're talking about on your slides.
No, please, no.
I have the Beyond Bullet Points, which, like you said, is a great book and you should read.
Yeah.
They have a rule where it's no more than 3 words per slide. I find that to be a little too much, so I've instituted the 7-word rule.
Yeah.
I think if 7 letters can be on a damn license plate, 7 words can go on a slide. It's my logic.
Hey, it works, you know.
Basically, the idea is don't put a lot of content on a single slide. It's better to have more slides and go through them more quickly than to have one giant and just block of text up there that sits up there for 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, especially if you're going to share your slides with the audience, because then there's no reason for them to take any notes or pay attention.
No.
In fact, they could find out, oh, you're putting these out there? I'm just going to go somewhere else now.
Exactly. and that's the thing. Slides are a visual medium.
Yeah.
Make them visual.
Yeah, make them visual.
Don't make them just written word.
Yeah, I would also remember to put in points that you definitely don't want to forget.
Yeah.
On there, just to make sure you touch on them.
Now, and I will say this about the 7-word rule, by the way. I do violate it semi-regularly.
Yeah.
The point of the 7-word rule is to have a guideline. It is not a hard and fast rule. I do have, for example, my About Me slide where I talk about the things I do.
Right.
That has way more than 7 words on it.
Yeah.
But I think in the HauntCon presentation I did, which is a good example, because even though it looks very different visually from the other talks I give, it has much of the same information. I think I only have 3 slides that actually use bullet points.
You should link to the show notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I only have 3 or 4 slides out of, and then it's like 40 slides that use bullet points at all and would violate that rule. So considerate.
Yep.
Now, here's the important thing that a lot of presenters don't seem to understand, especially first-time presenters. Stay around after your talk and meet and greet with people.
Yes.
My God. I've seen it, and it's not so bad at like HauntCon when we went there.
Right.
But at other conferences, you would swear that the presenter like was committing a heist robbery.
Well, yeah, it's either that or I've seen it the opposite way, where they keep giving their talk over the time limit allotted, and then you don't get to talk to them at all because you've got to run to your next class.
Yeah, this is another reason.
Going back to your, you know,
40 to 45 minute rule.
Yeah,
you
want
to make sure you end with enough time to transition and for you to take some questions just one-on-one afterward. Because here's the thing, no matter how much Q&A you have, there are people who are going to have questions that are either not comfortable with giving you in a Q&A environment.
Right.
Or just it's not practical to give in a Q&A environment.
Or you'll have, you know, people like me who are, I'm actually kind of shy in person. So I will wait until everybody else has asked their questions and catch you as you're walking out the door.
Yes.
Sorry.
No. But that's an important thing for a speaker. This is a really, really big time. This is when you're going to do those business card exchanges. This is when you're going to engage with people.
Right.
Take advantage of this. And this is one rule I've developed over the years. Don't plan anything important immediately after your talk.
No. No.
If your talk is the last one of the day, prepare to stay late.
Yeah.
If your talk is before lunch, realize you might have a short lunch.
Yeah.
If you're talking, I've gotten screwed on this. If your talk is right before a keynote, you're boned.
Yeah.
Just kiss your ass goodbye. It's not personal. But if, you know, whenever I'm speaking at an event, I typically just assume I'm not going to anything in the next session.
Right.
Because typically speaking, I'll spend at least the next 30 minutes or so answering questions, talking to people, meeting people, talking about their situations. And by the time we're done, yeah, the classes might still be going on, but now it's rude as hell to barge in and enter.
Yeah.
And I'm usually pretty tired by that point, so I'm probably going to take a nap in the lobby if there's no one who wants to talk to me urgently.
Right. Or you'll move the conversation out to the lobby.
Yeah. Well, usually, we're in the lobby already by this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, stay around, chat. Meet people. It's such an important thing to do, and don't leave like you're robbing the place.
Right, and if you are a speaker, make sure that people know you're a speaker from the day you get there, so that they can say, "Hey, what's your topic about?"
Yeah, and that's one of the pieces of advice I would give to conferences is make sure speakers have different badges.
Yeah,
they don't all.
Please, the ribbons are the little lanyards.
Yeah.
They can be very useful for that because I have seen conferences do it right where speakers had red lanyards and everybody else had blue or black or some other color.
Well, there was one conference I went to. I'm trying to remember which one it was. I think it was the one I did in Philadelphia a while back.
Right.
In which they gave everyone got conference goers just got a ribbon.
Yeah.
And then you got attachment ribbons based upon other things you did.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and the thing about it was me, because I went at behest of another company that was sponsoring the event. So I had like the main ribbon, I had a sponsor ribbon, I had a gold sponsor ribbon, a speaker ribbon, and a keynote speaker ribbon. So basically I had like this, I felt like Miss Universe. Like a sash, not a ribbon.
A sash of ribbons, yeah.
I felt quite beautiful.
The other thing is you've done some of this over the years, has found unique ways to, and part of it's being from New Orleans, because we have a lot of options, but get the crowd engaged. Like, I know at HauntCon last year, you gave out Mardi Gras beads for people who were interactive with the questions, and we also brought king cake, because it was king cake season.
Damn right, it's king cake season.
Yeah. So, if you have something like that that you can do, you know, make sure, it's nice to give people, if people like free stuff.
Yeah.
So if you have something you can bring to give out, do it.
I'll tell you this. I got a $5 iTunes card from at HauntCon from a talk when I answered a question correctly. Conveniently, it was a copyright question. So I don't know who the hell else he thought was going to answer it.
Yeah.
But yes, I got a photo opportunity, but I still remember that. I remember the talk. I remember him.
Yeah,
I remember that very well. So yeah, it helps stick out in the mind too.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's also a great suggestion. But I mean, the main thing about giving a talk, one thing I've learned over the years, and this is like my supreme tip to anyone that's unsure of being a speaker, when you screw up, not if, when.
Yeah.
It's going, just a give up on the if. It's going to happen. You're going to be talking for 45 minutes. You're going to screw up.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen. It's okay. When you screw up, go for the joke.
Yes.
Make them laugh. Whatever you did wrong is immediately forgotten.
Yep.
Just that's it. Get a joke or two ready. Go for the joke. Keep going.
Yep.
Because then I'll tell you this. When the audience, even if it's just a little stupid, hell, even if it's a groan. Because I'm a punny guy. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have been playing along. But when even that... It's like it not just erases it from the crowd's mind, it erases it from yours.
Right.
And I don't even remember my mistakes now, usually.
No.
I remember the jokes.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the mistakes. So it also erases it from your mind. And that's just it, man. You've got to build confidence. And the best way to do that is to have a plan for when you inevitably screw up.
Yeah.
Welcome to being human.
Yay!
Well... We are actually out of time. Like I said, we're not going to get to putting on conferences, which, like I said, is probably for the best, because I don't think many people in our... There's some, but I don't think many in our audience are actively putting on or looking to put on conferences.
Right.
But if you do want us to talk about that, please do let us know. We are Haunt Weekly on Twitter and Facebook. Soon, probably sometime this week, knock on wood... knock on wood, hopefully we'll have it up this week. If not... Next episode will be the first one on the new site. Like I said, we got it nailed down now. It looks great. I'm very excited about it. It's going to be great.
Yep.
So on that note, anything else?
No.
On that note, everyone, thank you very much for wasting this hour with us. We appreciate it. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode number 61, talking about conference tips and tricks. Have a good, safe, and successful Haunt conference season. We will see you guys next week.